And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Before we get to my next guest, I want to announce the results of the poll that we've been running. It was a real simple question. It was up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. I asked a simple yes-no question. Will 2012 be better than 2011? And of those people responding, 91% said yes, 2012 will be better than 2011. So thank you to all the people who took the poll up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. I'll announce a new poll tomorrow. You'll have a chance to take that poll, and I will give the results of the poll next week. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is grassroots movements exerting influence. Each of my guests is explaining how an ordinary grassroots event can create great influence. My next guest started as a grassroots entrepreneur and realized that people and business processes differentiate one retailer from another. We'll discuss how customer service, which is a very grassroots activity, can propel any business from his book titled Reinventing the Wheel. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Chris Zane is the owner and CEO of Zane's Bicycles back in Connecticut. Chris's philosophy is that the business where bicycles and accessories are pretty much the same, it's the people and the policies of a company that make the difference. Chris knows that it's his customer satisfaction that keep him in business. Chris's cutting-edge marketing techniques have been used as case studies in over a dozen college textbooks worldwide. He's considered a pioneer in the bicycle industry and has set precedents on how other bicycle shops are run, how other bicycle shop owners run their own business. His innovative ideas have been the subject of numerous articles in publications like the Harvard Business Review, Fortune Magazine, Inc. Magazine, Nation's Business, and the list goes on and on and on. Chris is a frequent guest on WCBS radio show, The Small Business Report with Joe Connerly. Joining us from back east, welcome back to the show, Chris. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Billy. I'm doing great. I appreciate having me on.
Well, thank you for coming back to the show. It's a testament to you had a good time the last time. So let's set the stage for listeners who won't believe the incredible customer service that and how that can be profitable for you. Zane Cycles has revenues that exceed $15 million and an annual growth rate of almost 24%. I mean, that's awesome. You owe this phenomenal success to valuing customers for life, over-exceeding customers' expectations, and a trust in human nature. And in this uber-competitive world where discretionary income is dwindling, how do you continue to improve on your success, Chris?
The success that we've had has actually been a lot of fun to go through the process with. We set up our organization to be a customer-centric, customer-focused, customer service organization. So all the folks in my company that work with everyone and you know, who comes in really understands that what we're doing is fulfilling a promise of making sure that they have a great time. They're happy. The customer's happy. We don't say no to them. If they ask for something, we just do it. You know, we have an unconditional return policy. We have lifetime free service. We roll out all these service offerings to customers so that they feel comfortable when they come in that when they make the decision to buy with us, they're not going to have any buyer's remorse. And they're going to feel like it's the place that they should be.
And I think that it's great. I mean, you fit right into today's theme. We're talking about customer service, or in many cases, lack of customer service. Some of the trademarks of your customer service that over-exceed your customers' expectations include the things you just talked about, that lifetime free service guarantee, a custom coffee bar within the store, not charging for parts that cost less than a buck. I found that was very interesting. Full refunds, no questions asked, free flat tire fixing service, a trade-in program for children's bikes, a very creative idea that you came up with. Somebody who has a child's bike, children outgrow the bikes, they can trade them in for something else, and absolutely hassle-free tryouts for any bicycle that's in the store. So my question to you, Chris, is this. How do you communicate these service offerings that you have first to your employees and then to your customers?
Well, it all starts out with the first thing that we did was we offered an extended service policy to our customers, and we let them bring the bikes back and we would fix them for free. And we saw that there wasn't a tremendous amount of demand on our service center. So we extended the time and continued to add on. And so it wasn't like we just jumped off the cliff and said, you know, we're going to be this great service organization. We're going to have 27 different offerings that are going to wow customers. We just started rolling them out one at a time. And that's the message that I try to promote to everybody. You don't have to be miraculous out of the box. You just have to want to be miraculous in what you're doing and just kind kind of turn up the dial as you start to see where it makes sense to do it and where you see that it's profitable for your organization. It's not like it's costing thousands of dollars for me to take care of a customer when they ask for something like a ball bearing or a axle nut or a master link. We just give it to them. And again, if you think about the cost to me, maybe it's 10, 12 cents, and I give it to a customer for free, and they walk out the door, they're like, wow, that doesn't happen anywhere, but it's Ains, and it gives us a chance to connect with that customer in a one-on-one, real-world way. And that all starts, again, like I said, with the team, with the guys that we hire and the women that we hire. They want to service the customer. They're nice people. They're friendly. They're outgoing. And they're really charged to make a difference in that person's life with the sport of cycling or whatever their needs are. And it's easy to translate great service offerings when the people that work for you are just really nice, genuine people.
Well, that is good. My guest is Chris Zane, and I want to talk about the employees. I want to come back to that in just a minute if we can, Chris. But before we leave this topic, yes, you opened this up and you tried it out and you found out that it didn't cost you a great deal of money. But before you even knew, you decided that you would offer this. I mean, how do you weigh that cost, the trade-off between the cost of doing something and then offering it, these special amenities that you offer?
Well, one of the things you think about when you try to roll out a new program or a new service offering for customers, how is it going to help your organization? How is it going to better connect you with your customers? And so you start rolling out the service offering and you figure out that it works, and then you turn it up. And we've got lots of great service offerings that we offer, but we have ones that didn't work for us that we just turned back down and then turned off.
I got you.
So we used to pick up and deliver bikes to people's houses. That just became a nightmare because they were never home or we couldn't get the bike back on time, and it just wasn't a benefit for our organization. So the people that I told when I sold them a bike that we would come to their house and pick it up and they wouldn't have to come to the store for service, I continue to offer that service to them, but we just stopped promoting that offering, and so the new customers didn't know that we did it. So I've got few hundred people that were responsible to take care of that way, but the thousands and thousands that we've sold since then, that's not an offering. So it, just because you start something doesn't mean you have to do it forever. You can turn it up and you can turn it down based on how it works for your organization. You just have to try.
That makes a lot of sense. My guest is Chris Zane. He's the CEO of Zane's Cycles. He's also author of the book Reinventing the Wheel, The Science of Creating Lifetime Customers. And we're talking about customer service. So in everything that we've talked about in terms of the customer service offerings that you have, Chris, you show an extraordinary trust in people. Now, while other retailers are becoming more jaded towards their customers, how do you manage to maintain your incredible trust in people and kind of go counter what the rest of the world is doing?
Well, I'll give you an example of why I was able to embrace this vision of being trustworthy or believing that people were trustworthy. In our retail store, we sell about 5,000 bikes a year, which is a pretty good-sized retail store. Of those 5,000 bikes, everybody comes in, they test ride them, and then they buy them. But there's 5 people a year that come in, take a bike for a test ride, and don't come back. And so, it drives my staff crazy when that happens. Somebody stole a bike right off from under our nose, and immediately, the new employees who haven't seen it happen before, they're like, oh, we should start taking people's keys, and we should start, taking driver's licenses, and we need to, we can't have that happen. And I sit them down, and I say, look, we sell 5,000 bikes a year, and 4,995 of them are people that are awesome and would never even think that they would take advantage of our situation. And there are 5 knuckleheads, but we're going to mistreat 4,995 people because 5 people are dishonest. And when you look at the statistical analysis of that, it makes all the sense in the world not to worry about it. And actually, at this point now, come July when the third bike gets stolen, I just look back and go, well, at least we only have 2 more that are going to get stolen between now and the end of the year. Because that's just how it happens. And I've never had more than 5 stolen. 1 year I had 4. And, it just seems like for whatever reason, there's those people out there that did. And how about this? They never take the expensive bikes. They always take one of the inexpensive bikes because they're coming in understanding that they're doing something devious. So they're afraid to ask if they could take the $4,000 bike for a ride. They take the $350 bike for a ride.
That's interesting, and that's a little bit of human trivia knowledge as well, Chris. But you hit the nail on the head in that last answer about the employees and the way that your employees react when they see that first bicycle being stolen for the first time. And you have said in this interview and in other interviews that, the people are the cornerstone of your business. So my question to you is this: how do you find and how do you bring on board and train these good people and give them the mindset that allows them to really have this superb level of customer service?
Well, I tell my, you know, my guys that start the interview process, and you know, I meet with all the folks that work for us as well, you know, later on once they've got through a couple of people that are potentially they're going to work for. But the first indicator is when you walk up to somebody and if their eyes up and cheerful and smiling, that, you know, that's half the battle right there. When their eyes down and they're looking down and they're, you know, not quick to put their hand out because they're insecure, you know, that person, they don't even need to continue the interview because we're not going to hire them. Hmm. And at that point, the rest is easy. If you've got people that have the right soul and you give them the tools and show them that customers are going to have a good time with you, if you high-five little kids, the parents will pat you on the back, and all these little things that happen every day in our store, that's just intrinsic from the people. And then the other thing that we do that really engages my employees is I run through the numbers with them. And I say, you know, if you buy the first bike, it's at 4, and they go all through all their bikes, and they get their midlife crisis bike and their retirement bike. They're going to spend $12,500 with us. And so that's $5,600 in profit. So every customer that walks through the door, don't look at them like they're a $1.29 Power Bar customer or a $5 tube customer. They're a $12,500 customer to us. So treat them like that. And immediately the light goes off and people are like, oh, this is awesome. I can do anything I need to do because they are empowered to keep this guy happy because we're going to try to collect that whole $12,500 and not let it, some other bike shop get it.
Makes a lot of sense. And it's interesting the way that you're able to turn the tables. More importantly, it's interesting that your employees understand that. Why do you think that is? Because not every high school kid, no matter how bright-eyed and cheery they might be, is going to understand that concept.
Well, when I start working with us, we shadow somebody who's been in the company for a while and really gets it. You know, one of the guys that's you know, long and strong and is helping to initiate new policies. And they might shadow that person for 2 months. Working with them to learn what they need to know to be able to sell, to be able to service, make sure they don't scratch the car when they put the bike in the back or whatever. And during that, there's a tremendous amount of dialogue, and you just figure out how it's supposed to work. And it's literally like, you know, just passing down the stories so that the new employees understand that, you know, they're trying to have their best look what happened to me story at the weekly meeting. Some guy gave me a $5 tip. Some guy brought in a 6-pack of beer because I did something for his wife. Or, you know, it doesn't matter. The stories are told. But that's the way that you get these folks engaged. Is you have them almost compete with one another to see who can be better at it.
That is great. And imbuing them with the company lore. My guest is Chris Zane. He is the CEO of Zane Cycles. He's also the author of the book Reinventing the Wheel, The Science of Creating Lifetime Customers. So, Chris, I want to take a look at the other side of the coin. Clearly, you figured it out. You know that giving great customer service is what's going to help propel you in business. But if you look around at your competitors and you look around at other businesses that may not even be in your industry, you can see that customer service is definitely on the decline in the United States. So why? I'm going to ask you to sort of speculate. Why do you think it is that customer service is deteriorating in the United States? And do you see a relationship between size of a company and effective customer service in your day-to-day life and in your industry?
Well, when you think about, you know, great service organizations, you know, there's Southwest Airlines, Nordstrom's, Zappos, and Ritz-Carlton. You know, there's tons and tons of companies that people recognize that have great service. And, you know, we try to emulate all those different models in anything that we can do. And I think the reason why that you see a lack of focus on the customer is that the companies that offer poor service aren't projecting the correct message. The message that needs to be projected is you're not selling stuff. You're taking care of people. So the guy at the post office isn't handling letters. He's working with people at the counter, and he should smile at them and say hi when they walk up to the counter. It's not rocket science. You just have to realize that, you know, I'm not in the bike business. I'm in the companion business, I'm in the fun business, I'm in the lose weight business, I'm in the vacation business. I'm not actually in the bicycle business. And people think that they're in the business that they're in, and they don't realize that they're really in the connecting with people business. And if you do that, even in a business-to-business role, I mean, we do a lot of corporate business, and even my corporate customers, I understand that I'm trying to make those guys look good, feel good, be happy, and if I can project that with them and have that relationship with them, I have tremendous opportunities. And they say, well, you know, it's business to business. You know, they just work off a balance sheet and they don't fit. No, the guy makes a decision to do business with you for some reason that's internal. And if your price is your price and your service is the delivery is the delivery and all the things that you offer, but you actually have a nice relationship with that individual, it definitely have a better opportunity at closing those deals.
Without a doubt. My guest is Chris Zane. He is the CEO of Zane Cycles, also the author of the book, Reinventing the Wheel, The Science of Creating Lifetime Customers. Chris, what do you want people to take away from reading your book, Reinventing the Wheel?
The thing I really wanted to take away, and the book plants seeds, but it's got a lot of, it should ask a lot of questions of the way that you think about your existence in your day-to-day with your customers and with your staff. But the main thing is, get a hold of the lifetime value of your customer, because that allows you to recognize that the things that you do that seem extreme aren't, because you're looking at a long-term relationship with them.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. My guest has been Chris Zane. Chris, if people are intrigued by your philosophy, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
ReinventingTheWheelBook.com is one site. Zane.com or the main site for the business is another, and then follow on Twitter at chrisdane.com or LinkedIn or Facebook. We all have all those different social media things, but really, Reinventing the Wheel book will give you links to where to get it and information and lots of stories and things like that. So it's a pretty nice site.
That's reinventingthewheelbook.com. Chris, it has been a delight. Thanks for returning back to the show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, I appreciate having me. Take care.